Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
So Nadia Smokatina, co-founder of the EQ Yoga Method. Nadia lived in India for 6 months, where she completely immersed herself in the philosophy and practice of yoga. There she met Peter Jansen, a specialist in emotional intelligence. They combined their 38 years of experience, saw the relationship between the emotional intelligence and certain physical activities such as breathing and some specific yoga flows. Thus, they came up with the EQ yoga method. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Nadia. I am really looking forward to her session on the embodiment of emotions. Over to you, Nadia.
Thank you very much for this beautiful introduction, and I'm really happy to welcome everyone to this session. And it's my honor and pleasure to be here with you and to share some of the information, some of our knowledge and experience with you guys. I would like to start with sharing my dream. Today I had a dream, and you know, actually it's not my nature to share dreams because it's something like intimate and something which is only for me. But tonight, exactly tonight, just before conference, I had a very special dream. Just imagine that everyone got something in their head, like some special chip. And this chip helped actually people to stop once it noticed that there is some kind of emotion, and it stopped them and gave them some time for choosing their reaction. How awesome that would be, yeah? Okay, this cheap stuff, it's probably our future and probably not the brightest future, but however, this small stop is actually an awesome thing. And just imagine that if everyone would have this small pause between some thoughts in their heads and between the reaction they will have in the near future, how awesome it would be that everyone would be more conscious in their reactions. They would choose their reactions, and the world probably would be a little bit kinder. And there was some situation yesterday. I just arrived actually from St. Petersburg to Moscow back. There was a yoga conference there. And yesterday after my session, I went out to the street and I had a wonderful mood. I was totally in the present. I was very joyful. And I go out from the conference, and I see there is a man going out from the car, and he is screaming at his child, and he has rage, he has anger, and he is very expressive in his emotions. And you know, I've got so much scared. I've got so much scared just, you know, passing by this man. And it is exactly the situation where this little pause would be so much great, that he would see himself, he would understand him a bit better, and then he reacted and he would react to the situation he had. And, you know, just a small thing. If you are in Belgium and, you know, please know that you have wonderful opportunity to visit absolutely amazing performance, or it's called kind of theater where you will be the main actor and you will be the main visitor of this act of this theater. And the performance is called A Game of You. Just remember, write it down, and I absolutely advise you to visit this, recommend. So A Game of You. And this is a great opportunity to see yourself in different situations and see your reactions at these different situations. So today I would like to talk to you about our EQ yoga method. And we should start with understanding what is actually EQ. EQ is emotional intelligence. But in order to understand what emotional intelligence is, we're supposed to understand what actually emotion is. And there is a scientific explanation what emotion is. It is a reactive, non-filtered thought. So in fact, emotion is a thought, but it is reactive and non-filtered. And what is then emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence is to put the filters in your own thoughts, right? So, and actually your emotions is freedom of choice. You choose which emotions to have, right? So basically emotional intelligence is not only understanding and putting all the filters, but also through understanding your own emotions, you will be able to understand emotions of other people. And thus you will develop the empathy towards other people. And that's where, if we come back to my dreams, so that is exactly the pose, what you take and you choose which emotions to have, how to react to this or that situation. So, the topic of the emotional intelligence is pretty old. And especially when we are talking about yoga, yoga is very ancient stuff. People were doing yoga, they were doing yoga about thousands of years ago. And if you start reading those ancient texts, which were written 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years ago, you will already find their description of different emotions. There is this part of the text, Upanishad, and they describe their 9 different rasas. Right? 9 different rasas. And already now, using scientific methods, we understand that some of those 9 rasas, they were emotions. Some of those were moods, and some of them were something else. But nevertheless, it was already described. The emotional stuff was described. But however, the term emotional intelligence came up in 1964 in one of the articles. Thus, the term itself, emotionalist intelligence, is pretty young. So it is as old as Beatles is. But the topic of emotional intelligence is very, very old stuff. And if we look at the scientific side, for example, even Darwin, he was trying to connect body and emotions. He was telling that person is afraid because he is shaking, or the person is sad because he is crying. So thus, he put first the body reaction and then the emotion. And in fact, emotions can influence your body. And at the same time, through the body, you can influence your emotions. And EQ yoga method is very, it is a connection between science of emotion, science of about emotions. It is connection of yoga and some breathing techniques. So through the body, we come to the understanding of your own emotions. And we are using quite a scientific approach. And we will talk about, I will give you some tips today, how to use your body in order to become, to get to the present, and to increase your mood, and to get rid of your any other thoughts, yeah, to be in present, and just be, right, and actually, so if we come to the scientific approach, there are only six emotions, six and only six. And we are based our approach on research of Dr. Paul Ekman. And let's talk about these emotions. Like if we say that there are six, let's just count them. So first of all, it is joy. The joy, the emotion which exists exactly in the present time. There is fear, the second emotion. There is sadness, rage, rage, disgust, and contempt. So six basic universal emotions. Why it is universal? Because they exist from one culture to another. Like all people have those emotions. And this six universal emotions, so once again, joy, fear, rage, sadness, disgust, and contempt. So, and already a combination of these different six universal emotions gives you a combination of more than 400 different emotions. And you know, the thing is that every emotion is connected to your body. And if you look at every emotion, this emotion has three different focuses. And if you just imagine something like a triangle, right? Here will be the physiological focus. Here will be the linguistic focus. And here will be mental or cognitive focus. So thus, if you maintain all the three focuses of each emotion, of any emotion, so this emotion can transform into mood. But at the same time, if you notice that, I'm having this emotion, you have a chance to interrupt this emotion through three different focuses. But here we are focusing on the physiological focus and, of course, linguistic focus. Why linguistic? Because when we are doing yoga, when you have your teacher is using very specific lexic, right? Very specific language to explain you what to do, to explain the position of your body, to explain the breathing for you. And thus, this language is influencing very much your emotional state as well. So, but as for body, body is a very great instrument to feel your emotion. And as we said, that every emotion has a physiological focus. Thus, your body has a lot of different emotional anchors where every emotion is felt inside of your body. So probably you noticed that, for example, after some stress day, when you are very tired, you want some massage. And once you massage some part of your body, you feel released, actually. You feel released and you get into present. You get into joy. And that's how we can manage our emotional state as well. But of course, physiological focus consists of different parts. It can be food, it can be breathing, it can be also body posture. And once again, I will tell you in a bit, this very efficient posture to bring you into joy. And that's the posture which was recommended to me by Peter Jensen, the co-author of EQ Yoga Method. And this works perfectly. Just in a few minutes, I will tell you about this. So if we come back to yoga, right? Because yoga is yoga, right? Chitta vritti nirodha. So it means that you calm your head, you calm your mind. It is not just physical exercises. It is plus breathing technique. It is work with your attention. It is drishti points, where you concentrate your eyes. So it is a big complex of everything. And we do not invent yoga because yoga was invented many, many years ago. And we do not invent emotional intelligence because it was already described many years ago as well. But we connect the theory of emotional intelligence and we connect the yoga part and breathing techniques. And here, the combination of these three different things, this when you observe yourself, when you try to understand yourself, that brings you a bit closer to understanding yourself and your own emotions. And then you are getting better in increasing your emotional intelligence. So as for yoga practice, the thing is, when we are doing some different postures, different asanas during our usual yoga practice, what are we talking about? We are talking that dissociation of your mind and your body. And your task there is not to pay attention that much on your body pain, but try to concentrate, to free your mind, to go kind of out of your body and to observe your body from a side, yeah, instead of being inside. But what we are talking about our IKYU yoga practice, during our IKYU yoga practice, we try you to feel on our classes, try to feel your body and try to think about your body, what body is telling you, which emotion out of this six you're having. And it happens very often when, for example, your yoga teacher is showing you some very difficult posture and you are looking at it and you're like, wow, I cannot do that. And immediately you have fear. You have fear that you are not good enough to do that. Or you are doing some balance postures, balance asanas. And then you have a fear that, oh my God, I'm going to fall down now. And that exactly the emotion which you're supposed to notice, which you're supposed to feel in your body. And already then you have a chance to work with this feeling. So there are different asanas. And the thing is, every person, every body is very, very unique. And for one person, this asana is filled with fear, for example. For another person, it is felt with joy. Or for another person, it is felt with sadness. And it is so different from one person to another. That's why we never tell that in this posture, in this asana, you are going to feel this emotion. Or in other asana, you are going to feel something different. No, it is personal observation. And actually, I must admit that this is a hard work for all our students, because you're supposed to notice all that stuff. And when you don't have clues, you know, where to look. Should I observe my arm, left arm or right arm? It is very difficult to pay attention on the whole body and to find out where exactly this or that emotion is felt. And it takes quite a lot of time, right, to notice, to observe yourself. And I must say that it took me about 7 years to understand that my fear usually starts with here, with my right part of the neck. And once rage. When I'm angry at something, I feel that my muscle is actually moving. And this is very subconscious stuff, yeah? And my head starts a bit shaky. And that is kind of a sign, yeah? It's kind of my the precursor which gives me the signal that now I'm going to be angry. And here, when I can make my pause and decide which emotion, which reaction I will show to this or that person. And you know, actually, I'm really waiting for the time when the emotional hygiene will be the same hygiene like to brush your teeth in the morning. Because it is okay, for example, to go on public with a bad mood, or when you are sad, or when you are angry, or when something is in your head, and that's okay. But it is not okay, for example, go outside without making your hair, without not looking neat, right? So I think that emotional hygiene supposed to be the same as the hygiene of your body. Do we have any questions, actually?
Not yet. If you do have questions, please pop them in the Q&A.
Okay, then. I continue. So I promised you to show you one posture, right? which it is actually a hack. But remember that hacks are working only on a short period of time, because it is nothing in comparison with a true understanding of yourself. Right? So use hacks, use them as often as you want, but don't forget that it doesn't bring you closer to the understanding, to the true understanding of your own emotions. So the thing is, all the emotions, there is this flow theory, right? All the emotions, the focus of emotion is spread throughout time. And in the moment of now, in the present, it is possible to have only one emotion. And I think you can guess easily which emotion is this, right? Emotion which is focused in the present, that is, of course, joy. And that's why when we are talking about yoga, yoga brings you to the present. It is always brings you from your mind, from going there and there, like to the future, to the past, or to any other time, but it brings you always to the present. And that's quite easy to make when you are breathing, right? Because in yoga, we are doing all the breathing exercises and we are breathing a lot during practice, especially, for example, if you're involved in Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga, right? This Ujjayi breathing, which that's what helps you to stay in the present and not to to fly with your mind anywhere. So once you start noticing your breath, your breathing, right? That's the moment when you come to the present time, when you're focusing on the present, and that's automatically joy. So the easy stuff to do, just take your hands, how you call this gesture, like, okay, just repeat. Rub the hands, thank you very much. So make it warm, feel it. So after you've done that, just shake it a bit, just a bit. And then spread your hands kind of as if it is wings, right? Just spread it as wide as you can. So your back's supposed to be straight. And look a little bit up to the ceiling. Not very much, but just a little bit. And smile just a bit. Slightly smile. And breathe in with your nose, breathe out with your mouth, and one more breath in. Inhale and exhale. So, and in this posture, if you try to feel depressed, or if you try to feel sad and you keep your smile, this is simply impossible. Because you open your heart, you switch on your breathing, right? You stay in the present, and that's where you have joy. And actually, Peter Jensen, he was researching this posture, and he made he checked more than 1,000 people, and during 30 seconds of doing this posture and breathing in, breathing out, and smiling a bit, so you can bring your brain frequency into the alpha. Oh my God, how you say alpha state, right? Because when we are in alpha, we are feeling joy and we are in the present. So use this posture whenever you feel sad, whenever you feel angry, whenever you feel any other emotion, but you want to stay in the present. Remember to breathe in and breathe out. Remember to smile and look a little bit up and spread your wings. So that's the tip. But remember, once again, this will not bring you closer to the understanding yourself, but this works. So what we usually do in this EQ yoga classes, we in fact construct our own our own practice. As I told, that everybody is unique. Every person is feeling differently. Every person is having a different set of different emotions. And when we are doing different postures, and we start moving, and we start doing some vinyasas will be very easy to do. Some vinyasas will be very difficult to do for the person, right? But what we say is the most difficult things, the most difficult vinyasas and asanas are those which you need the most, right? That's fair enough, because when you do something easily, that's a way your body is very flexible, for example, right? And people are doing to do like to do splits, so that's easy for them and they feel joy there, right? But once they do something difficult for them, once they do something like completely impossible, something new, there where you will increase your neuroplasticity first of all, and the second, that's where you get your emotions, right? Because you have fear, you have sadness, for example. Why you have sadness sometimes when doing asanas? Just because that you become sad that, for example, you didn't go the last week to yoga classes, and you just skipped so much time, and you didn't stretch enough, you didn't do exercises, so your muscles are not that strong at this time, and that's why you are feeling sad, so you cannot do properly this asana, or it can be absolutely different reasons, right? And usually my task during these classes is to help people to feel absolutely different range of emotions. And you know, recently I had a class, and it was quite a funny station because we were talking about disgust, and we were trying to understand this emotion. And you know, the interesting thing what my student told me that when we do, for example, Bandha Konasana, yeah, the butterfly pose with legs. She said, like, when I go, when I put my nose closer to my legs, that's what I feel disgust. And that's pretty interesting feeling, because disgust is a very small emotion, and not a lot of people who can really feel this emotion properly. And that's the posture she found, and she was really observing herself, and she found that emotional anchor in herself where she feels this disgust. And it was quite a discovery. So I see we have a question, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of general questions. The first one, when you are holding a position, one of the asanas like plank, do you feel a bit of shaking, what does it mean? And they say, I usually push through and get through it with the help of breathing and mindset. Is this wise? How do you know when to stop and when to kind of proceed and push through?
I didn't get the last one, sorry. Good. Could you repeat that?
How do you know when to stop and how do you know when to kind of push through?
Mm-hmm. So about the plank position, that's pretty normal when you have the shaky body, right? That's just simple work of your muscle. It is your body work, just not strong enough, probably. And when you breathe in, when you breathe out, you optimize your body, right? So don't hold your breath, never ever during doing yoga. And that's of course a wise thing, right? To optimize your nervous system, your body position with breathing. That's actually what we always do during our yoga practice. And sorry, I already forgot the last question. Can you just repeat that?
So it's the same part of the same question. They're saying that they usually kind of push through it with the help of breathing and mindset. And when is it good to keep pushing and when is it good to kind of stop to listen to the body?
This is very The answer varies from person to person. And just yesterday on yoga conference, we were discussing this with another yoga teacher. He's teaching Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga, and he could not do Kapotasana. If you know what Kapotasana is, it is very difficult posture actually with a bending back, right? Bending back your back. And he was doing this for 2 years, and 2 years he was feeling pain, and he went to hospital for 2 years, two times. So basically every year he went to hospital for kind of a week because he had back problems, and he was pushing. And then after these 2 years, he decided to push it as much as he could for the last time. And finally, he got that posture, and he never had pain again. So, but this is a very unique situation, right? Just observe yourself. You never know, and there is no true answer for everyone. There is no unique answer there is no unique advice. Push yourself until you can. But remember, it shouldn't be. Yoga is not a big sport. It is not Olympic Games, right? Where you want to reach some results. That's the interesting thing that all asanas, they were created not for the body health or not for Instagram pictures when doing splits, right? That's maybe for some people sometimes it is actually a surprise. But nevertheless, all the postures, they were created by Indians in order to calm your mind. You know, some yogis, they are taking the sticks and they, for example, they try to injure, for example, their cheek, right? Or any other parts of the body, like hands, they put the sticks through their hands, right? And the goal is to calm your mind and to live through this pain and to calm your mind. And then they understand, okay, why should I injure myself? Maybe I can do something else with my body. And then they created this asanas, and there was very limited number of asanas. And what do we do there? We almost, for example, we almost break our knees by twisting, for example, our leg, or we stretch ourselves that much that it is painful. And the goal is not to make yourself stretched and wonderfully looking, right? But to create this discomfort where you pay attention and you work with your mind. So that was the aim of this asanas. And when remembering about this, you will understand when to push yourself through, when not to push. And remember that first of all the asanas, they are for your health, not for injuries, not for beauty, right? Beauty is a very side effect, which will come, but it is never ever a goal. So push yourself, but learn your limits and never go beyond that limits, because otherwise your ego is so high that you just injure yourself. So hopefully I replied the question.
Great answer. Thank you. Very clarifying. Another question. Someone who's very new to yoga and gets a bit confused with all the different information about which precautions to follow when they're doing yoga, and can they do yoga and drink or eat, take a shower, how long before and after? What is your advice on any precautions that someone new to yoga might take?
What do you mean precautions? Sorry.
The question says, I read that if we don't follow some precautions, that yoga might hurt our bodies. So the question is, can we drink, eat, take showers? And if so, how long before doing our yoga practice?
Well, that actually varies from, so if we're talking about real yoga, right? About traditional yoga, Indian or Tibetan or whatever else, but from that region, right? Sometimes some yogis, they consider, for example, the sweat which is going from the body during the yoga practice, it is a holy sweat and you're never supposed to wash it out. But before yoga practice, your body is supposed to be clean. And after that, after you had this yoga practice, you'll go out from the room and all the sweat you have, you never wash it out. But you try to use it, like a cream, and you spread it throughout your body and you dry yourself. Some yoga schools, yeah, can I say so? Like, sorry, I forgot this word in English. Some yoga, okay, let's call it schools, ashrams, right? So they believe in that. Some schools, they say different stuff, that you're supposed to be always clean. So before having yoga practice, you go to shower. After practice, you also go to shower. That varies so much. And you know, the thing is, yoga, some schools are actually contradicting themselves when saying something. And yoga is a way, and there is no dogma here. It is not religion. Thus, we do not have very strict rules. And it is the thing that it is your task to find your way. If you want to drink during the practice, okay, drink. Because otherwise, to wait until you pass out. No, it shouldn't be like this. Yoga is for health, and the rest is just self-torture. And you know, I also wanted to say that we have during yoga practice, we have four different kinds of practices: external practice, internal practice, secret practice, and let's say perfect practice. Yeah. So external, when we do, for example, asanas, right? That is external because we do something with our body and other people can see that. There is another one, internal, when we are doing not only asanas, but we look inside of us. We try to notice our feeling. We work with our mind. There is a secret practice. Secret practice, when you are not doing anything with your body, but you work with your mind and you try to construct your feelings, what you had during doing this asanas, right? So basically, this is very actually hard work. When you are, that's what we usually do when doing yoga nidra. Yeah, we are constructing the feelings. We are constructing the different like feeling of emotion, for example, yeah, in our body. And the fourth one, the perfect practice, when you are using three of them together. So, and when doing EQ yoga method, right, what we ask you to do usually on the mat, on the yoga mat, not only do asanas, not only work with your mind and try to observe your feeling, yeah, when you are in the mat, not only observe your thoughts, but we also ask, when we go out from asana, try to reconstruct that asana in your mind. Try to imagine that you are doing this asana. Try to remember what you were feeling and what you were thinking about during doing this asana. And that actually where the real practice starts, the hardest part of the practice, when you work with your imagination, when you work with your feelings. Okay.
Wonderful.
So I think, yeah, some more questions.
Yes, there's plenty of questions coming in. So I'm going to combine a couple because they're very related. How does yoga impact mental health? Is yoga a good recommendation for individuals who are experiencing sadness or stress, for example? And do you have an example of a posture for anger?
Posture for anger. Yes. Okay, let's answer from the from the out to inside. Posture for anger. Remember that every time when you're feeling some other emotion other than joy, your mindset is somewhere else. That you're kind of traveling in time, thinking about something else. And usually anger is something, because you are usually angry about something what already happened, right? So your focus of thoughts is somewhere in your past. And in order to come out from the past, you need to come to the present, right? As I told you, breathing always helps. Any kind of pranayama, any kind of breathing always helps. But the thing is, you're supposed to notice where this emotional anchor is in your body, where you feel this anger. As I told you, that I feel the anger right here, but it took me really years to understand this. And it came actually from my childhood. It's only now when I analyze, when I was angry, for example, yeah, why I was shaking. And I remember how my classmates were telling me like, Nadia, why your head is shaking? I never ever paid attention. And now I know that here is a muscle where my anger lives, right? So once you notice that, then you can work with that, right? Then you can stretch, for example, your muscle. Then you can stretch your neck once you know that, or do any other posture to work with exact muscle. That's why everybody is unique. Like every body is unique. And that's why I cannot recommend you one unique posture for everyone to cope with anger or to cope with any other emotion, right? Find that, work with yourself on that.
Your microphone. Nice, lovely.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, work with your emotion, observe yourself and analyze that, think about that. Yeah, because it's yoga is not only just being in the present. Yeah, we should integrate it in our life. We should integrate it off the mat. And that's where yoga actually helps, right? But you should think about that. What was another question about mental health?
It was like, how does yoga impact mental health?
Well, I would say good. remember one thing. It was one of the teachers in India told me, but don't be very judgmental, right? Yoga is for healthy people. Why is that so? I was really wondering why do they say that yoga is for everyone? But the thing is, every asanas, it has a lot of I don't know this word in English, like when restrictions, right? Restrictions. So when you should not do that, for example, you have your knee problem, you should not do that. Or when you have some mental problems, you should not do some pranayamas, because pranayamas, breathing, influences your nervous system. And you better consult doctor, you better consult your psychologist, clinical psychologist, for example, right? Before, if you have some mental problems, and that's okay. Before you deal with that, and then you come to yoga. Because your body is supposed to be in that set, in that condition, when you can work with it further. And actually now I agree. When, for example, my students come to me and they say, oh, I have problem with my neck, for example, and that's very serious. I go, first, please go to yoga therapist, work with that, treat your problems, treat your injuries, and already then come to yoga classes. Because we do a lot of different asanas, and sometimes people are just not aware of the problems, right? And they can do some movement, and then it's cracking, yeah? And then it's an injury. So be attentive to yourself, check yourself before going to yoga class. And as for mental health, yes, always consult if you know that you have some mental problems. First consult your psychologist and then already go to yoga classes, to meditation practices, for example.
And following on from that, questions, how can you put the fine line between avoiding emotion and getting too much into the suffering side?
If I
understand the question right, it's like there's a fine line between the avoidance of emotion and getting too deep into the suffering of an emotion.
Well, when you suffer emotion for quite a long time, this becomes your mood, right? And then already that's a different story. That's very difficult to come out from this mood. But we are talking about emotion. Emotion is something that you have at a time, right? And when you notice this emotion, then you can work with that and not make it a mood, okay? And so, sorry, maybe I'm not really understanding the question, but like between suffering emotion and going too deep?
Would you like to speak to the person who's...
Yeah, sure.
That's always nice. So hopefully our tech host can do this. Can you put Nadia on to ask the question and then we can clarify? So it's not Nadia, it's Mariana. Can you unmute Mariana? Please, Julia?
Yeah, Mariana is now in the panelist, so okay, she can.
Yeah,
speak.
you can just unmute her. I can do that if you're not sure. Okay, Mariana, please clarify your question.
Hello, thank you, Nadia.
Hello.
Yeah, like my question. Hello, my question is related because when we want to transform something deep inside, it's really good to face the emotion, right? It's like a fine line between getting too much in the I just want happiness, so I just keep going with my practice every day as happiness, and then we are not really facing like the real deep root, but also can be like doing this fine line to getting to this place or to getting to the suffering, no? Like maybe there's a person that all the time wants to work in the emotions, so all the time they're like contacting, so they go to the other extreme.
So, well, yeah, about going too deep, remember why you are doing this. If you are doing this, but you do not use it in life, then why do you need that? Because emotional intelligence, sorry, emotional intelligence is nothing. Understanding of yourself is nothing when you do not use that, right? You can have a lot of theory, but you will not use it. It's like, you know, I had once a situation at the airport with a friend of mine. I already was involved in yoga for maybe like 10 years, so I knew how to calm down. And we had very unpleasant situation in the airport, and I was completely taking everything as it is, like pure zen, and you know. And a friend of mine, she was totally different to me, like a different side. She was very explicit, she was very angry, and so on. And the thing is, I knew how to manage my emotional state, but I did not use it for the better situation, you know, to change it. So this knowledge is nothing until you know how to implement this in your life, okay? Hello. Is anyone here?
Yes, we're here. That answered Mariana's question.
Mariana?
Did that answer your question, Mariana?
I think, yeah. I didn't see if I was mute. Yeah, kind of a little bit, but maybe it's just another way of seeing the things. Because I'm a therapist and I work a lot with emotion. And for me, it's been like a journey, really interesting to, instead of trying to change the emotion, just facing and going deep what is happening there. And it's been another like kind of heal yourself, you know? So that's why I was asking this, how we can see from the point of yoga, because I've been having a lot of patients that maybe they go afraid to maybe use these techniques of yoga or everything to just suppress emotions, or for example, smoking weed to keep in the state of happiness all the time instead of going to their shadow and work on that. So it was just related with that.
Yeah, but my comment is please do not confuse therapy and EQ yoga, because I'm not a clinical psychologist and I do not work with trauma. This is totally different thing. Yeah, as I told that, we Okay, once again, please do not take it judgmentally. Yoga is for healthy people, right? That's why we say that if you want to work further, if you want to work with your emotion, we suppose that you are healthy to start doing that, yeah? If you have trauma, please go to specialist to work with that, yeah? Of course, there are some helpful tools, but it should be a clinical specialist who would take this or that tools from yoga, for example.
So maybe we've just got time for one or two more questions, because I know you have to leave us soon, Nadia. I'm loving this interaction. So many insights. So following on from that, there's a question about, I know you said that unwell people should see a specialist, but we've got a question about yoga for cancer patients. Can also be a very emotional experience. Have you got any tips for gentle guidance?
For cancer?
Yes.
Well, once again, yoga is very broad thing, right? You can direct it to cancer prevention, to cancer healing at some point, right? But remember that yoga is not very universal thing to treat all possible diseases. Remember that there is also modern science which helps, right? But here we are focusing on the emotional stuff, on the thinking of your emotions. And cancer, that is a disease, so it is a body disease. And as I told, that your body can influence your emotions. At the same time, your emotions can influence body. Of course, when you are having a good, when you are in the present, when you are having joy, you have some different hormones working on you, right? On healing this or that disease. Then, of course, try to stay as much as possible on joy, even though I know that a lot of patients, okay, all of the patients, right, cancer patients, they have a lot of pain. But at the same time, when person is in pain, just remember, when you have, for example, just headache, right? You are already a bit down. You are kind of pissed off. And that's where you have the first task to get rid of your pain, right? By some physical exercises, for example, by understanding the problem. Maybe you have some blood vessel problems, right? But then first you treat your body, and then you already work with your emotions. So, and if you have some... If you're dealing with this yoga for cancer treatment, you better ask also your specialist, right? But remember that joy has a very, very specific influence on your body, on your hormones. You have endorphins, you have oxytocin, you have some other set of hormones which help to treat yourself. But yoga always brings you to the present, as I told, because of breathing, because of being aware of your body.
So, Nadia, I don't know if you've got time for one more question, where it's okay. Going to have a fairly short answer, as we still have a few comments to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can do this in a short way, but how did you find your passion for yoga and decide to pursue yoga as a career?
Okay, actually, this is not a short question. It is a very long question, because I spent 7 years in a financial corporation, and that's where I've got my neck problems, right? And instead of neck spines, now I have 6. So it took me 7 years to get this problem, and it will take me the whole life to get rid of this problem. Yeah, and so just at one moment, I said myself enough. So I didn't really love what I was doing. And yeah, then I went to India, and then I went into yoga, like professionally, more professional. There is no professional yogas, you know, yogis. Remember, there are professional teachers of yoga, but you cannot be professional yogi. Yeah, please remember, and do not confuse these two definitions.
Well, I think we're going to have to finish there. Sadly, we're out of time. Thank you for a beautiful and insightful session, Nadia.
Thank you very much.
How do people follow up and stay connected with you?
Well, just follow us in Instagram, in Facebook. It is EQ Yoga Method.
Great. And I think that that's going to be going into the chat now. So obviously, some of you might want to replay this session again, and you've probably discovered that there's so much going on over all the channels in these 10 days. There's still more to come on our last day, lots of juicy stuff. And I'm sure you'd like to keep on learning after the conference, working through the library at your own pace and being supported by learning lists, audio-only files so you can learn on the go. And now is really the time to upgrade, because as soon as the replays are over, the price is going to double. So please do, if you're thinking about it, sort of jump in now and get the library. There's just so much in there. It's amazing value right now. Also, if you're a professional working in trauma, please know that you can get a discount. You just need to message us if you're generally working in the field of trauma. And if you can't afford the library, but you would still like to help us out, because obviously this is not free to put on, it's an immense event, you can choose to donate to the conference itself or perhaps supporting one of our charities, which you can do via the portal. You can stay connected and network with others, and maybe Nadia kind of jumps in as well in the coffee breaks. You can do that through the portal. Connect with us on our main embodiment, the Embodiment Conference Facebook page. And coming up next, we've got how to teach yoga to kids to keep them engaged. And that's with Isis Mulliman. I hope I pronounced that correctly. So, last word, please, before we go, from Nadia. Would you please offer us your top tip on how to be more embodied?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you and to share some of our ideas. And the last tip, how to stay embodiment. So breathe and notice that you are breathing. When you breathe, you live. So that's it. Thank you very much for this conference.
Thank you for a beautiful session, Nadia.
Thank you. I wish you all good day, good night, wherever you are.